יודע את הרי, רבי לייב גולדברג. רבי שמחה גולדברג.
Good morning. I'd like to start with an interesting thought to share with you. I came across, disregarding the worldwide situation, it's always helpful to have pointers and direction. Two things. First of all, that goes without saying, it's posher to think, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves of Dvorim Pshutim. And that is that with everything going on, we're trying to work out the message Hashem is trying to give us, we cannot know. What is it Hashem is trying to tell us? What's the message he's trying to give us? But the one thing is very, very clear, and that's to recognize Yad Hashem is the fundamental of our Bria, the fundamental of our lives. Let us remind ourselves of the famous words of the Ramban in Parshas Bo 2 weeks ago. Ramban says, "Bakavonas kol hamitzvos shenamin belekenu v'noide elav shehu boranu v'noide elav mitzvah, admit unto the grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created us." V'hi kavonas hayetzira. The purpose of the world is just v'noide lelikenu shehu boranu, just to accept, to be grateful for, and to understand that Hashem runs the world. Simple as that. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yetzira harishon. There's no other reason for the creation of the world. V'ein keil elin chofetz b'tachtoinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing else out of the world, so to speak, b'kavyachol. Melevat she'yeda ha'odom v'yoyde le'lekov shebor. So the first thing is to understand the kavana of the yetzira. Sometimes we forget ourselves. In day-to-day lives, we're busy. We have to, even busy with Torah mitzvahs. Whatever we're busy with, but to remind ourselves, understand Hakol Yad Hashem. Everything is there for us to recognize the Yad of Hashem. We have to constantly remind ourselves that. And I came across a fascinating thought in the Shu'im of the Tells of Rosh Hashivas of Yosef Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I think something which we find helpful and interesting. You know, this is Shtadlus. We all know whether it comes to health or Panos or any other areas. This is Shtadlus, you know, a person's unwell, goes to a doctor, right? We know, and we all know that it's really, it's not the Shtadlus, but it's really the Yad Hashem, which is controlling our lives in all areas. At the same time, there's a mitzvah. We have to do Shtadlus. But how do we make that balance? So he brings that this, you know, in Pasha Shlach Lecha with the Meraglim, there's different ways and views on the matter, but he says that the actual sending of the Meraglim in itself was not the wrong thing to do in itself. You know, we know that when it came later on, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Eden, and they were coming to Yericho, so they coming to Eretz Yisrael, so they sent Meraglim. So sending Meraglim in itself is a regular Hishtadlus, regular normal way of life, which is permitted. That was okay. He says, so what's the problem? He says, obviously on the Madriga, Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar at that time, on their Madriga, there was that too much reliance on the Hishtadlus. The Hishtadlus has to be, we recognize Yad Hashem. We recognize call everything Yad Hashem. What I do or I don't do makes no difference to what Hashem's plan is. At the same time, Hashem wants me to do a status. That's what it has to be. He said, how did it portray itself? When the Yidden came, it says in Sefer Devarim, when the Yidden approached Moshe Rabbeinu with the idea of sending Meraglim, so we know Rashi already explains over there, that they came, Anoshim, Chashuvim, and not Chashuvim, all Ba'arivuvya, in one mixture together without proper Seder. So he says there was too much excitement in the Hishtadlus. And I think this is very, very pertinent to our situation today. We all have, well, it's difficult to know exactly what the Hishtadlus should be, but everybody has his ideas about the balance of what Hishtadlus should be in social distancing and in wearing masks and in a whole lot of other different things you can do, which is important. You have to have Hishtadlus, no question. But there should be no excitement about the Hishtadlus. I think it's a very, very valid point. Let me read out to you some words from the Shmuz of Shiri Das here. He says, Ha'etzel Shaleich Meraglim, the actual idea of sending Meraglim, Ein bo zeh shum ro, there's nothing wrong, says Rabbi Yosef Bloch, nothing wrong with sending out Meraglim, it's fine. He says, because that's Loilis Mechel Anes, we're not to do Anes, you have to wish that. But he says, Aval Yesh Lo Das, we have to understand, Shaloi Ha'em Tsoyim Hatzivim, Me'ilim Opoim, natural causes, natural precautions a person takes, has nothing to do with what Hashem wants to actually carry out. It's not our reactions and our natural behavior which causes any results. Ki im rotzen Hashem hu apoyol. He says, if a person really understands that everything is really Yad Hashem, I efshal lovoi behislavus Bedrishas and so on. Don't get excited about the Ishtadlus. I think it's a very valid point in this. Yes, it's true, it's perhaps a mitzvah on ourselves to be careful, to take precautions, but don't get excited about it. If you get excited about it, you're putting your whole bitachon into the actual Ishtadlus. That's where it's important for us to remember. If everything's Yad Hashem, and we have to wear Ishtadlus, but don't get excited about it. Perhaps one way to be able to discern oneself whether one is putting too much in the Ishtadlus is very, very simple. That just occurred to me. It's very, very simple. If you see somebody else who doesn't do Ishtadlus in the way you'd like, okay, I'm not saying he's right or wrong. Maybe the person is wrong. Okay. But just keep calm. You know, if you see somebody walking into Shul and saying Krishna at 10:30, he's missing man Krishna. Do you get excited about it? No. Yeah, we're all British. Well, good morning. I'm a British. Mind your business, yeah? And when it comes to the Ishtadlus, in these areas, oh, get excited. Why get so excited? I think it's a very, very personal point, this. A person must do Ishtadlus. A person must do the mitzvah Ishtadlus. At the same time, we must be mechazak ourselves and understand that's not why Hashem brought the virus, in order to all wear masks. That is what's in Hashem. Yeah, maybe it is what's in Hashem, but that's not the reason why it's there. The reason why it's there is in order we should mechazak ourselves in recognizing Yad Hashem. And therefore, we have to do our bit in Ishtadlus, but the ikke Ishtadlus is to recognize Yad Hashem in the whole thing. That's just a thought which I came across. I want to move on to something interesting. It's connected to Parashat Yisro, but it's actually very broad-ranging in the area of Tzuchumim. And it goes like this. There's a Chazal, it's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches. It's also Rashi in Parashat Yisro, this is Parashat. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk we say on Rosh Hashanah, B'chol Om, it says, V'yah ha'om v'yonu'u v'yamdu me'yochik. The people, Klal Yisrael, at Har Sinai, they trembled, and they stood at a distance. So the Chazal make a drasha. Rashi brings it down. Says Rashi, they receded shneim osamil. The Yidden were so trembling, so scared that the Aseret Adim was when they were being said by a Kodesh Moch. So they ran. They receded back 12 mil. Meaning, as we know, the whole entire Machane Yisrael, when they were camped spread out, took over an area of 12 mil. 12, which is about approximately 12 kilometers. And obviously Yidden by Hasina were at the front, gathered at the front by Hasina, and they ran to the back of the Machane, ran all towards the back of the Machane. Chazal said that they ran 12 mil. Malachim had to encourage them to come forward. He says, Malachi Tzvokos, Yedudun, Yedoydun, Yedoydun. So Joshua from the Pasuk, the Malachim encouraged the Klal Yisrael to come back to Hasina and continue Aseret HaDibur. Interesting question. The funny thing is, this question comes from one of the very early Rishonim. The Sefer HaRikach was a very early Rishon in the 12th century, and he asked this question. He says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, this Gemara I just quoted is of Peiches, the Gemara of Peivov in Shabbos says that, as we know, Matan Torah took place on Shabbos. So this was Shabbos. So how could the Yidden walk so far on Shabbos? There's an Issur Tchum. A person mustn't go outside the 2,000 Amos, which is 1 mil. A person mustn't go out more than a mil on Shabbos. So how could they on Shabbos walk so far away from Har Sinai? It's outside the Tchum. Very, very interesting question, which opens up lots of interesting points. What was it that? That's one of the two we're going to discuss in a second. Yeah, more than Torah.
They didn't have a Torah.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so first let's explain the question a bit clearer, because it might say we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in Simchat Torah design, that Tchumin is only Issur Rabbanon anyway, which means it came later on in history. If it's Issur Rabbanon, obviously it wouldn't be a question. However, first of all, there is a Tana, Rabbi Kiva, who holds Tchumin is Deraisa. That's one thing. Secondly, some Rishonim hold that even though we paskin Tchum is Rabbanon, that's 2,000 Amos. But the share of 12 mil actually is given, Yud Beis Mil, is Deraisa. So if somebody would walk more than Yud Beis Mil, that would be min hatoyah. So the question therefore is, both according to the Tana Rabbi Kiva, who holds Tchumen is Deraisa, and even according to the other Tana, those who show that the Rambam, for example, holds that 12 mil is Deraisa. Interesting that Shitta is mentioned in it is mentioned in the Ramah, Simon Tov Dalad. There is such a Shitta mentioned that 12 mil could be Deraisa. So this is the question. So it brings us to ask, when we say 12 mil, it's also a Shaila. Is it one step over 12 mil, which is the Raisa? But if you go up to, and including up to 12 mil, maybe it's okay. Which is a shayla, right? The The Rambam's Lashon is, when he says that you mustn't go more than 12 mil, the Lashon is chutz miyud beis mil. Right? Over. He says, so therefore, that might be a solution. Because if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos, which discusses when the Kladis on Har Sinai, the Lashon is that they went Shneim Asamil. Chazu Yisrael Shneim Asamil. So you might get away with that. Kladis only went up to 12 mil, and the prohibition meant that to go more than 12 mil. That will be an answer. However, this besides being Gemara in Shabbos, also Mechilta, Rashi and Chumash brings down the Mechilta, and there the Lashon is a bit different. The Lashon in the Mechilta is Vayamdu Mirachik, that's a pasuk, Chutz Mishneim Asamil. Vayamdu Mirachik, Chutz Mishneim Asamil, which means it would have gone out further than Yud Beis Mil, which therefore would still be a problem. How could they go further than Yud Beis Mil? Okay, that's the Shaila. The Rekech has a Shaila. In a minute we'll come to the Rekech's answer soon. But the interesting thing is what the Kli'oim are saying, were they counted as Yidden at that point? What exactly happened that happened to it? So, first of all, they had the technicalities. How and when did the Yidden become Bnei Yisrael? Talk about Ger. When did they become Gerim? So the Gemara says in Krisus, Daf Yud Beis, I'm sorry, the Gemara says that there's three criteria to become a Ger, which is Tvila, Mila, and Hatzoras Dam. Mila and Tvila, obviously Hatzoras Dam is a carbon. It has to be a carbon as well. That's what Krisa says. So, and the Gemara learns this from Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah. Aviseinu, Lenichnas, Lebris, Elo. Right, so Mila was done earlier, of course. Mila was done already in Nissan before the Kompesach. That's Mila out way. And Hatzoras Dam, so the Chazal brings a pasuk, the Gemara brings a pasuk, the end of Parsha Mishpatim, there's more discussion about the details of the procedure of Matan Torah. The famous words, Nasim and Ishma, are actually not in Parsha Yisroi, the end of Parsha Mishpatim. But anyway, over there, the pasuk says, Vayishlach is Nari B'nei Yisrael. They had the Nari, the Kohenim, the Bachurim, and they brought the carbon. And the pasuk then carries on, Vayikach Moshe Sadam, and he did Zrikas Sadam. Now that is the Hartzoras Dam, is the carbon. And the Gemara learns, since he brought the carbon, it must have been Tvila as well. This is what the Gemara says. So it goes together, the Tvila and the Hatzorah Dam and the carbon. This was this pasuk. They brought carbon. When did this happen? So if you look into the Gemara Shabbos again, the Sugya Batan of Peches, it happened on Hay Sivan. So by the time it comes to Matan Torah, let's take on, Matan Torah was on Shabbos, which was on either Vav or Zan or Machlekes, but by the time it came to Friday night, Shabbos, that day of Matan Torah, they were eaten already. Right? They were eaten already. L'chayah. However, there's another Gemara that besides those three criteria, there's also Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And we're showing him, say, both in Yivamah, Staff, Memhei, and Kusubah, Staff, Yud Aleph, it's also an important criteria. Of course, how can Ger become a Ger if it's not Mekabal mitzvahs, obviously. Right? He has to Mekabal mitzvahs, Mekabal to do at least, I think the Rosh is Miktas mitzvahs, he has to Mekabal to do mitzvahs. Right? So that would be a solution. So even though all the preparation was done, they had the Mila, they had the Tzvila, they gone to Mikvah, they had the carbon, but they wouldn't be technically Gerim until it came to Kabbalah's mitzvahs, which was at the time of Matan Torah itself. During the time of the actual Matan Torah, that's when the Gerim would be Chal. So, you can all get... Sorry? Probably, yeah. When did they do it? Yeah, that's a good question. It says they did it on the fifth, one day on the fifth of Sivan. Maybe they've done it earlier. Yeah, it's a good question. So when we talk about Kabbalah's mitzvahs, it's hard to know exactly the rega, at which moment was the Gevur Schal, during which point in the Sadibus. So perhaps that would be a solution. Perhaps the running back, the 12 mil, took place before they actually technically were Gevim with Kabbalah's mitzvahs. We don't know exactly the point of Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Yeah. That's a big discussion, yeah. But Neinoyach, yeah, that's also a big discussion, yeah. Okay, so that's a possibility. Also bear in mind the following interesting shaila. That imagine we suggest that they were Gerim at that time. But being a shmoshes, when Shabbos came in, there was, let's assume, When did they say Nasim and Ishmael? I don't remember the Gemara says when they said Nasim and Ishmael. I'm not sure. But you have to look at Ben Ashmoset. Had they already said Nasim before Ben Ashmoset or after Ben Ashmoset? Here's a discussion in the Rishonim. If somebody was a Goy and he became a Yid on Shabbos, which is a Shaila, if you're allowed to do a Tevila, the Shem Geirus on Shabbos, it's also a Shaila. But let's say it was done. If you hold it, it's permitted, it was done. And he became a Goy on Shabbos. Now, Tchumin, when we talk about Tchum, is dependent on where you were Bein Hashmoshes, right? Friday night, the person's in town. So this is fixed as his town. So now he has 2,000 amber circumference around. He's allowed to be in for Shabbos. But where was he Bein Hashmoshes? If he was a Goy Bein Hashmoshes, he had no, it's called Shvisa. There was no Shvisa Bein Hashmoshes, no Tchum Bein Hashmoshes. So then maybe he's exempt. What's the halacha of somebody who Bein Hashmoshes was in no man's land? Well, that's clear in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara discusses in Erevin, and in Shulchan Aruch it says, Ein Tchumin Lemalo Me'asor. If somebody found himself in a situation of 10 Tefachim above ground level, Bein Hashmoshes. Right? The example given in Gemara is in a boat, in a ship. Right? The ship is well above the seabed, so it's 10 Tefachim above what's called ground level, the seabed. So he's not actually got its Tchum at all at that point. So someone was in a boat Friday night, and the ship docked Shabbos morning. He gets off the ship. Where's his Tchum? So the Tosfos says in Erevin, the Shulchan Aruch brings this down, that the Tchum is the first point when he arrives on Shabbos, he lands on Shabbos, so to speak, below 10 Tefachim onto the earth, he gets the Tchum from that point. So even though Bein Hashmoshes is Friday night, he didn't have any Tchum at all, but he came on Shabbos and he arrived in a place where he's got a Tchum. Now on Shabbos, he gets his Tchum at that point, 2,000 numbers, from where he lands, from where he docks. That's what it says in Tosfos. If that would be applicable to the case of the Goy, we'd say the same thing. If it was Goy Friday night, he had no Tchum. But at the moment he becomes a Yid on Shabbos, at that point, he gets a Tchum from where he is. So if we are suggesting that the Yidden were not Yidden Ben Hashmoshes, but still on Shabbos, at the time of Seder Dibros, they became Yidden, at that point, they would get their Tchum. If they would get their Tchum at that point, then the question remains, this is the question of the Rekeach, how could they go outside the Tchum? So basically what we've discussed so far is number one, at which point they become Yidden, and number two, what's the halacha of somebody Bein Hashmoshes was not a Yid, did not have a Tchum, and on Shabbos he arrived and all of a sudden he gets a Tchum on Shabbos. On that subject there is a Ramban who brings Yerushalmi in Irvin. Ramban in Irvin says that if somebody was not a Jewish at all Bein Hashmoshes, he doesn't get a Tchum the whole Shabbos. It's very different to somebody who was in a place above 10 Tefachim, where he didn't have a Tchum, that's not technical, but he was a Yid. If someone's not a Yid, Bein Hashmoshes, he has no Tchum the whole Shabbos. That's what Ramban suggests from the Shami. That's the other kasha. Yeah, coming next. Yeah, thank you, yes. So, that depends whether a Goy is different to Yid in that respect, whether maybe there'll be a solution to say if a Goy, Bein Hashmoshes, never gets Tchum the whole Shabbos. That would be one possible answer. Yeah. The other point, of course, is, like you just mentioned, there's a Machlekes in the Gemara in Shabbos, which is Shabbat Pesach. And what happened to Mora, which was yesterday's Parshat B'Shalach, the lining of Parshat B'Shalach, Shom Lechoyko Mitzvahs. We know there were certain mitzvahs which Klal Yisrael received at Mora days before Matan Torah. And some Machlokes in the Gemara, some say, included Tchumen as well. Some Machlokes in the Gemara. So if they already commanded about Tchumen a few days before Matan Torah, that reinforces the question. So they were, in fact, in the parish of Tchumen already. This is the kasha of the Rekech. This is the kasha of the Rekech. Well, there's two parts to it. How could they do it in the first place? How could they go in the first place, run 12 mil? How could they do that? And yeah, like you said, how could they get back home as well? Both kashas. Both, yeah? How could they go out and back? Well, yeah, it depends on the timing. Yeah, when exactly what I say was. Yeah, it depends. If it was Mora, for example, it was days before, right? So, yeah. So the Rekech says an interesting teretz. The Rekech says, it's a problem now. They may not have known all the details because they were told the details over time. Yeah, that's a possibility. But you're suggesting it means that we didn't do the right thing. They didn't know. Maybe. Yeah, but you can do that. But you can only put an eruv down for an extra 2,000 amas, not 12 minutes, far too much. you can get an extra mil. If you left, you have 2,000 amas to go, you put an Eruv down to another 2,000 amas, that's it. Right, and anyway, it's unlikely that he put the Eruv down planning this event. It's unlikely as well. Yeah. So the Rekech says, it's not a problem. The Rekech said the mission Eruvin discusses about, you have, if a person ends up in a room, or an area, an ear, a city, a place, which has mechitzas around it, call her ear, kedalad amas. Right? So even a person, even if he did go outside the tchum, but when he arrives in an area, which is an area, however large it might be, surrounded by mechitzas, that whole area is like one big place, mokum, one mokum where he's allowed to be for Shabbos. Right? So this is a machlikas, first of all, whether he has to have mechitzas or not. It's a machlikas. Tosfos in Erubin. There's also an interesting mission in Rosh Hashanah. Those who remember Rosh Hashanah about how the Eidim would come on Shabbos to testify about the new moon, it would go into a chotzer. How could he move around the whole chotzer? There's a test of Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, Kaponim, many shittas hold, it has to be a place mukuf mechitzas. It has to be a place with mechitzas, with halachic mechitzas around it. So which brings us to the question, in the Midbar, where the Klal Yisrael were in the machane, were there mechitzas? Was an Eruv, so to speak. Were there mechitzas? So the Rekeach himself says that Anonim, the clouds, would act as a mechitza around the camp. So one large area, 12 miles, quite a large area, it's about 12 kilometers, I think, from end to end, one large area surrounded by mechitzas, and therefore the whole thing was one big mokim echod. No problem, you can run to and fro as you wish. Tchum is no problem, it's all one big place, mokim mechitzas. This is the territory of the Rekeach. So this poses quite a few problems. Each of them is interesting in its own right about this. Are we going to say that the Yidden in the Midbar was one big Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Right? If they were Mukav Mechitzas, right, the first, the main criteria to decide what's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid on Shabbos is Mechitzas. If you have four Mechitzas that's required by Halacha around you, that's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So you're going to tell me that the whole Machane, this is what Rekech is talking about Tchumin, with regards to the halach of Tchum. But likewise, if they're going to say the whole machin was mukaf mechitzas, was surrounded by mechitzas, it's going to come out for Elcha Shabbos and carrying on Shabbos, for that issue of carrying on Shabbos, which is a rabbim, is one big Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Now there are many Gemaras, that's part of the issue, there are many Gemaras which tell us that the Klal Yisrael in the midway in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Gemara says, where's the Mekor for Haitzah? That the Avera to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Last week's parash, we just learned on Shabbos. Al Yetze Ish Mim Koimai. There's two ways to learn the pasuk. One of them is Gemara Tzadiches in Shabbos. Al Yetze, it was forbidden for a Yid to carry from his home, from his tent, into the road, so it's being into the street, in the Machane Yisrael. But if it was all surrounded by Mechitzas anyway, so how does this fit? How can the Rekech say it was one big Rosh Hashanah Yochid if we know from the Gemara that we're told that was just a rabbi inside there? This is a big question. The Gemara says, the Gemara talks about the famous Gemara about 16 numbers, 600,000 people. All this discussion, the Gemara says clearly in Shabbos, we learn was just a rabbi from Diglei Midbar. The Gemara of Shabbos, the Makur for their concept of carrying on Shabbos, was just a rabbi, is all largely learned from Diglei Midbar. So now the Rekeach is going to tell me now that no, the whole thing was one big was just a yachid. This is a big difficulty with the understanding of the Rekeach. So there's things to think about here. Is there is a well-known chiddush in the Rashba. The Rashba Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, who is a very big chiddush. He says that normally, primarily, we look at mechitzas. We say, if there are mechitzas around, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. If there are no mechitzas, it's not Rosh Hashanah Yochid, maybe it's just a rabbim. That's a basic, with other details, that's a basic idea of definition. The Rashba says, Chiddush Gadol Moed. The Rashba says, it's possible to have a place which is surrounded by mechitzas on all four sides, and it's still Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And I'm not talking about, the famous discussion about the islands such as England, the whole thing should be Rosh Hashanah Yochid. I'm not talking about such a large area, because you can't see the mechitzas. It's got to be able to see the mechitzas. But even the area where you're in the middle, and you can see the mechitzas around you, it could still be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says the Rashba, why? If it's in the area where Rabbim gather, the Rabbim, 600,000 people, are in this area, a whole rabbim, it's machzach, a whole esik of rabbim in the middle, that gives it a shem, reshus harabim. This is the chiddush of the Rashba. Chacham Tzvi, it's a Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh, but the Chacham Tzvi quotes it, and he has some words to say about it. He says, He says, Chiddush Godel lo nimtza b'shum poisik. Never found any other poiskim saying this Chiddush. He does bring, there's a shit of Rabbeinu Ephraim brought down both by the Baal Hamor in Erevin, and the Ozerua brings down the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Some of them hold this way, like the Rashba. But that would be a possible solution to our problem. So although the anonym, the clouds around Klal Yisrael would perhaps serve as Rechitzas, according to the Rekeach, yet it could still be Rosh Hashanah inside there. Because even if you're inside Mechitzas, but if there's a Rabbim gathering together in a Zenta, it still has the status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though it's surrounded by Mechitzas. It's a Chiddush of the Rashba. That's still Drabon already. That's already Erevin. That would be Drabon already. Yeah. Okay, it is a Machlokes Rishonim. And there are questions on the Rashba. There's discussion. But it would be an option. But going to the clouds themselves, do clouds act as a Mechitza? Can a cloud be a Mechitza? So we know the rule is a Mechitza She'eino Oimedes Beruach. When the wind blows it to and fro, it's not a mechitza, right? Well, that's how clouds move, generally speaking. The clouds move with the wind. Now, we know Klal Yisrael were protected by the anonym in the midbar, and the wind wasn't moving them anywhere. So what does the Moni Yavamah say? Moni Yavamah says that the Cheshbaruch, especially, it's one Bris Mila, I think, there's a special Ruach Tzfoinis, which is required to heal the Bris Mila. The Ruach Tzfoinis didn't blow in the midbar because it would blow the clouds away. That's what the Gemara says. So these clouds weren't blowing anywhere. Because the Ruach Tzfoinis was stopped by Kodesh Baruch, was stopped, it was a nace, no Ruach Tzfoinis, a northerly wind, no wind, no cloud, clouds not moving, so they stayed put. So we have a Bechitza here, which isn't going anywhere, so it's not blowing in the Ruach, right? Which brings us to a Shaila. If you have a Mechitza, which potentially is so schwach, so weak, it would blow in the Ruach, happens to be it's not a windy day, does that help you? You follow? Let's say I'm in a house, in a building, and I erect a flimsy curtain on a rail for a mechitza, for a halachi mechitza I'm talking about, for a halachi mechitza, let's say. You need it for, I don't know what, for Hilchos Shabbos, whatever. Right? And if it will be windy in here, it will just blow away. But there's no wind inside the building. This is the famous Shaila, the Morgan Avraham says that such a mechitza doesn't function as a mechitza. A mechitza. Because a mechitza in essence, in itself, is a very weak mechitza, and the ruach is only a symptom to see how strong the mechitza is. It happens to be no ruach, doesn't help you. That's the Magen Avraham shita. However, there are chalkim. The Chazanish discusses, he's mitzadid, the opposite, and the Behiti brings down. Others will show him that perhaps it would be a mechitza. So that might be opening for discussion on the Rekech. If he says, because of strength or because of ruchness and tara? Because the Gemara said the wind would have blown him away. The Gemara says that. So, I have to ask a good question now. How strong or weak would it? Good question that. The Rekeach takes on that anonym that the clouds did serve as mechitzas, which would have to be understood according to the shittas that the wind, because it wasn't windy, so they were good mechitzas. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and likewise we find the Gemara in Shabbos says that a Rabbim, a properly full Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which has a roof on it, Makura, is not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's what the Gemara says. If it has a roof on it, it's not Rosh Hashanah. So again, we know Chazal tell us that the clouds in the Midbar were on all six sides, and there was also a roof. So again, if the cloud, the anonym, constitutes a Mechitza, so how can we be told that B'nai Yisrael the Midbar was Rosh Hashanah? The Ritzvo in Erevin asked this question, in Shabbos, he asked this question, he says, Kiroi, the anonym, the roof of the cloud, didn't count, wasn't considered a kiroi. It didn't explain why. That's what Ritzvo says. That's what Ritzvo in Erevin. I'm sorry, in Shabbos. Ritzvo in Shabbos says that the kiroi of a cloud doesn't count. And the Avnei Nezer says because they blow in the wind. So in summary, let's just summarize the Rekeach's question. It's interesting, the fact, you know, some vertical. The Rekeach, the one that earlier we showed him, asked this question. So let's summarize what we said. The Rekeach asked this question, how could they travel the 12 mil? So on that question, basically we discussed two ideas. First of all, were they Yidden or not? Were they Yidden Ben Hashmoshes? If they weren't Yidden Ben Hashmoshes, they became Yidden on Shabbos. Would the Tchum still apply? That's the first discussion. Did they get Tchum in Mora? One discussion. And secondly, were the clouds sufficient to act as mechitzas? That itself causes lots of problems. Chazal tells us many times it was Rishus Rabbim. So we quoted the Rashba Shitza that it can be Rishus Rabbim. Even if there are mechitzas, it could still be Rishus Rabbim, which is a big chiddush on the Rashba. On that, or we say, perhaps the clouds were not mechitzas because it could blow away in the wind, which brings us to the other discussion about whether, if the wind wasn't actually blowing, are they called mechitzas or not? A lot of food for thought then. Sacha Abba.